Well, put your feet up, get a cup of coffee, get close, and listen to the call.
I'm going to go face down through the door.
I don't know, Marilyn, can you hear any background music?
Yes. I heard him start it.
Oh, there we go.
Other people.
Yep. We've had some other people join us. Welcome to the Wednesday Night Call. If you have a chance, feel free to give your name and locations, please.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, welcome to the call. Glad to have you.
That was Dave.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Ron in Mountain Grove.
Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. And you?
Well, doing good. Welcome to the call. Always glad to have people. Missouri, right?
Right.
Mountain Grove.
Mountain Grove, Missouri? Yeah.
Right.
Marilyn, I'm fracturing up on listening to people. Do you want to take over?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Reluctantly.
Oh, sounds a little reluctant.
Yes. Very reluctant.
Visceral.
You're not supposed to notice, though, Joel.
Hi, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail. Welcome to Wednesday Night's Call.
Got Steve from Flight Chat and Bettina from.
Hi, Steve. Don's got the music too loud. Don, can you turn it down? Thank you, sir. Thank you. I can hear the people calling in. Okay.
Michael Mobile.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to the Wednesday Night Call.
Thank you. Well, that was interesting. When Don came on, I could hear him perfectly.
Well, now that he's lowered the volume on the
Wow, music. I think Marilyn is talking, but I can't understand anything, so I'll just be quiet.
Well, I don't have a console to mute people, so that's going to have to be someone else's job.
If you have a mute button on the line, it's okay to pull the cancel that out.
I don't, Don. I'm sorry.
What's all that hiccup talking?
Well, see, I don't have a console like Kai does.
Oh.
And, Glenn, are you there? Welcome
to
Wednesday,
question
and answer call. Please say your name and location when you get a chance.
Phil, South Carolina.
Barbara from San Mateo, California.
Welcome, Barbara. Hi, Phil.
Definitely.
Clay from South Carolina.
Hi, South Carolina. Welcome.
South Carolina have a winter?
Yeah, they do, actually.
It's really light.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Lisa?
Yes.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Wynn. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine, thank you.
Didn't you really take care of things?
So far, so good.
Oh, wow.
Good evening, this is Eric.
I'm sorry, Eric, I couldn't hear where you said you were from.
From Phoenix.
Thank you.
I've got a question. I'm on the call with you, Clint. And if I put it on mute, do I mute you?
No, I don't think so.
I'll try.
Are you on the Luma line?
Yeah.
Are you taking over now, Wynn? I can keep quiet.
Yeah. Hang on, I'm almost taking over. Hang on. Okay. I think we're ready. Just a moment.
Hello, this is Donna from Kingman.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
We're going to start taking 1 second. I'm just looking at last minute questions for me. Okay,
Muted.
We're all muted? Gary, are you there? No. Can you hear me? You're muted.
Okay, now
can you hear
stop.
You, Wynn.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Okay.
Now, are you on the UMA phone?
Yeah.
Okay, can you put it a little closer to your mouth?
No.
No?
How about that? Is that okay? Is that okay now?
It's okay. You know what? It's not as loud as your cell phone, okay?
Yeah, but my cell phone, I can't use it because I don't have the patch cord for the earphone.
Okay.
She sounds
all
good
right.
to me, Wynn.
Yeah, she does. Okay. You can hear her. That's good. Okay, thank you.
Unmuted.
Hello? Did someone else just come on? I can say your name in the city.
Muted.
Be that way.
This conference is being recorded.
Hi, this is Winfrey. This is February 6, 2013. And this is our call where you guys submit questions. And I just want to share with you, before we start, I feel like there's something I'm supposed to do that we haven't done. And, you know, there's an aspect to these calls where they kind of feel good. We all get to know each other, and we bring in energy and you can feel it, and you can feel the connections. And I know that many of you, when you go back into your life, you feel unclear, and you don't know how to do it, and you can't figure out how to do it. And, you know, there was a time, quite some time ago, when I was doing workshops and over the phone. And one of the workshops we did was, I called it the Dark Night of the Soul workshop. And there was a little bit of channeling, but there was, mostly I did it. And it was kind of confrontive. And I think I might like to try to do that again. When I say confrontive, maybe confrontive is not the right word, but it was an opportunity to help people surface some of the garbage that they don't know how to work out. And you have to do that in a small group, because it's not just listening to me talk. It's where people talk, where you talk. And I get right in it with you, and I say whatever I feel. It's not necessarily a feel-good workshop. And where did that come from? And did I stop the recording? I think I did. Let me just check. Yes, we're recording. So I think I should do one of those workshops again for those people that feel really, really stuck. And I'm turning off. Okay, we're off. So if that sounds interesting to some of you, send me an email and say, yeah, I'd like to do that. And obviously, I got to charge for that, because it's a small group of people, and it's a huge amount of energy on my part. You know, when one of the things about this is that when you start to open up to who you really are and to the energies of who you are, when I do that with people, and when Terry does that with people, we go into something you could call processing. And probably the reason that I can do this in the way that I'm doing it is because I have learned how to process quickly, but not all the time. Believe me, it's like if I don't get enough rest and relaxation, and I'm taking on lots of people's energies, like when Terry and I do expos, and we're sensitive, and we're in the traffic of thousands of people going by a booth, and you're feeling all those energies. You know, when you're doing the expo, it's fun. But afterwards, I sleep for 3 days, and I know I've been working with the energies of everyone there. And all of you have these same issues that I'm sure that on some level, you're processing everything around you. Now, when you go into a state of constant processing, you're in a state of reality that you're holding. Now, you're stuck at a level of, let's suppose you're married, and you're always processing your wife and husband. Then you get stuck in a reality, and you don't even know you're processing. It just becomes a reality. So one of the things to be able to learn, if you really want to be effective in terms of lifting the environment and lifting the people, is to learn really how to process and let energy move through you instead of getting stuck with you. And to some level, it'll always get a little bit stuck, and it always gets stuck at the level where you have your own distortions, if you follow what I'm saying, because it doesn't move through your distortions. It gets stuck there. And if you've ever noticed, you tend to judge other people who have some element of something that's inside you. Sometimes that's one reason for judging them. And it's like, you look at it, you don't like it because you don't like it in yourself, but oftentimes you don't even know that's the reason. It's not conscious. It's not at a conscious level. And so I'm just putting this idea out of doing a workshop like that for those of you that are really, really stuck and to see if we can't unstick you. Now, a lot of you have gotten tremendously unstuck just from these calls. But in these calls, you're always listening to us, and you're not usually expressing yourself. And I want to do a workshop where people express themselves so we can have dialogues, move through stuff, and see how well that works. We've done this in the past, and it has worked, at unsticking you. And then another workshop we did that was really interesting is getting people to be able to connect with their high self and actually have their own high self give them guidance from them, not from me or from Terry or the Elohim. And I think that we did it right on the workshop. It wasn't like it happened afterwards. And people went into a semi-state of channeling and looked at themselves, and suddenly all this wisdom was coming through them in evaluating themselves. And it was amazing how perceptive people could be and how much guidance information they could get without us telling you, okay? Because the goal here, as I see it, is my goal is to create situations that are empowering. And because we do so many of these calls, it's easy to just lean on the energy of the call and not empower yourself. Because once you start to move into your own process of self-empowerment, you're going to confront your stuff really, really strongly. And it's okay to confront your stuff, because the way things work is by letting stuff come up and experiencing them. And that's the way to release it. And to some extent, I've allowed myself permission to do that. Like sometimes when I'm on these calls, sometimes I get touched and I get tears, and you know, I'm embarrassed from a professional standpoint that I shouldn't be doing that on this call, but yet I do it, and then I get emails from people saying they liked it. Well, I don't know if that's the desired response, but what it is I'm releasing some kind of grief that's in me, and I'm releasing it. I'm going through it. And so each of you needs that opportunity to, whether it's cry, be angry, be sad, but know how to move through it and to get to the other side of it. So pay attention, and we'll be doing that in the next few weeks. If I get emails from people that say, that sounds like a good idea and I'd like to participate. And we have questions tonight. We have some good questions that have come in. And let me see. Terry, are you not ready?
No, I'm never ready.
Thank you. The never ready battery.
Right.
You know, I want to apologize to you. Well, I don't think you took it personally, but I got at least one email from our grid healing last Sunday where people thought I was being mean to you. Somebody did. And I think because we were talking about your headset and background noise and what was happening, and I was on the Sunday grid healing, and I was in the zone of talking about something. And I really get in the zone, and when I hear those noises, it starts getting me out of the zone. I get out of focus. And the same thing happens when Terry channels. If we're doing a channeling and there's noise in the house, she kind of loses it and says, could you tell so-and-so to be quiet because I can't concentrate? So I put out a little bit of irritability when she was doing that. And if it came out as disrespect, it wasn't. It was just, that was just what, as part of me going through, just saying, releasing something. And actually, I don't think she took it personally, okay?
No, I didn't take it personally because, like, you had spent hours and hours setting up a telephone system with telephones every place in the house that I could possibly be near. And then I still didn't get it. I couldn't find a telephone.
I mean, one of the things about Terry is that, and it goes with being transparent, and it goes with, how can I say it, letting things surface, because one of Terry's weakness, I don't know if we'll call it a weakness, it may not be a weakness, but one of her attributes is she can get spacey, and she can get unfocused, and I can show her how to do something, and then 3 days later, she's saying, can you show me that again? And then 3 days later, she's showing that again, and then I get irritated, and I say, how come she can't remember something really simple?
Because she never got it in the first place.
But, you know, part of her nature is being spaced out and unfocused in certain ways. And that means that that's good for being a channel, I think, because she's able to zone out and get these amazing answers. But in the real world, it takes her a while to get something that I think should be very simple. And I understand her process, and I'm patient with it. But usually I'm patient, and occasionally I'm not. And then sometimes I think that when I get intense, she can get it better. You know, I say, pay attention right now. Please pay attention to this. Now, sometimes when I say it like that, she goes unconscious and then she pays less attention. So I get very frustrated. And this is like the dynamic of humans. And I'm, you know, it's like, because we're doing this work, we're not exempt from being human. And dealing with not only our own issues, but the issues of the people that are in our environment, the people we care about, and learning how to flow around issues and learning how not to judge somebody, learning how to be patient, and learning how to curb your anger and learning when anger might be appropriate. You see, these are things that you have to be in the moment to figure out. It's not stuff that you can follow a rule about. Like, for example, there's a lot of people who are spiritual or would put themselves under the label of being spiritual. Oh, wait a second. Here, I'm trying to see where that noise is. It's the cord. And in fact, they've been trained never to have anger, that anger is a negative emotion, and never to express it, and always be kind. And for some of those people, that works beautifully. And for other people, it's like they're really repressing their anger and they're always acting nice. And what I've learned is that repressed anger, unexpressed anger, that doesn't mean you have to be going around yelling at everybody all the time. You can just express it to yourself. You can let yourself have the anger come up and not say, I'm supposed to push this down, I'm not supposed to feel this. And that's part of releasing it. Another thing is anger. If you take the energy of anger and really tap into it, it can create a lot of motivation. Like, let's suppose you're having trouble getting a job and you're depressed. And then you don't want to go out and ask. You're thinking, nobody's going to like me. Well, you're actually repressing a lot of anger. And when you tap into that anger and redirect it, it can become high energy and motivation. And that is good. If you repress anger, it turns into depression. And this is one of the reasons sometimes people are depressed, because they have a lot of repressed anger. Okay? So on that note, I'm going to start this session, and
Can't hear you, Wynn.
Can't hear you, Wynn. Can't hear you, Wynn.
I can hear you guys.
Well, you can, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Teddy.
Okay.
The Skype is still up, but apparently.
I thought that call went real fast.
All questions answered.
Yeah. Okay, let me go and see if he knows that he's not being heard.
Okay.
Yeah. In Sedona, it's dark, and we are having a thunder-lightning storm out there.
Is that what's going on? Okay.
That's exciting.
That's why you're not in your cell.
No. He doesn't know that he can't be heard. He's still talking.
I you know what? I hear you. I'm sorry. I had...
Don't tell us. Don't keep it to yourself.
Now, you see, I pulled this cord off of my phone. It's wireless, and it was charging. And when I pulled it off, it turned it off. And then it somehow turned off the earphone. When I did that. So you see, now that I did that big lecture, I did it.
That happens, you know. I mean, there's three flows to stuff. Others to others. Self.
Are you saying, you're saying I created that by talking about it, right? All right.
Yeah,
okay.
You wear that. Anyway.
Well, I want you guys to see that it's okay to be fumbly and make mistakes.
Well, does that make me so good?
Yeah. And that sometimes that is the most endearing thing that can happen to you, okay? Or to other people, when they see that aspect of yourself.
Not because everybody on the line agrees.
They don't? Well, well, Terry likes it. Well, you know, there are people that are very precise. They're Virgos, they're Capricorns. You know, they have that precision, and they don't make mistakes usually. But nonetheless, okay, let's start again.
You're really anxious out there to get started. Some of these.
Yeah. Okay. So let's bring in the light and We'll turn it over to our sources. And sorry that I screwed up.
Hello, Wynn?
I'm here.
Okay, so are you going to call in the light?
You want me to do it again?
You never did it. I didn't hear
you. I never did it?
No, you never did it. We didn't hear you.
Oh, I called in the light. Okay.
Yeah, but
okay.
We didn't hear anything.
Well, I thought you were psychic. What's going on?
Well,
all right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us when we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we await our sources to greet us, introduce themselves, say what they'd like, through Terry Brown.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is brought on. And this is the 6th of February 2013 in your time zone. And we look over the planet. We look at this and see the different time zones also in the dateline. And we see England, and we see Sweden. And as we ground into your Earth plane, we then bring love light, the color of pink, into your sphere. And for each and every person who wishes to be connected with, we are there and we offer connection. For those that don't wish connection or wish to still just listen and find out more, we are there whenever and if you ever would like us to make contact. We are a very high frequency, so we don't get into the perception zone of a lot of humans. So being on these calls can open the channels for you to eventually extend your perceptive ability and to begin to sense us. It is the reason why when people pray, they do not always realize that their prayers have been heard. Although their prayers have been heard, and it takes for the majority of people faith to believe that their prayers have been heard, but when you are able, through tuning, to sense the high frequencies, then you can begin to know and sense that your prayers have been heard. Your intentions have a lot to do with outcomes. Your thoughts have a lot to do with outcomes. So that although you may not have realized it, a spurious thought that you had may have brought in unintended results. And then it is going by at such a fast speed that you do not really realize that you have indeed connected with an outcome that in general you would not have wanted. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. And this is from Melina in Santa Monica. What can I acknowledge about myself to stop attracting wounded women in my life as friends? And if I decide solitude rather than being around most people, am I isolating myself or just honoring my extreme energy sensitivity?
We would suggest that in the nature of your question resides the answer in your attracting wounded women to you and you're then seeking the solace of energy that is harmonious, that you then have found one way of handling it. However, by nature of your question, as you seek other avenues of connection, you, by seeking solitude, may not receive the fulfillment of connection in people that are women that are of a nature that would fulfill your desire for connection. So we would suggest you look at yourself in your gift of desiring to help others and how it makes you feel with helping others and the desire of those women in needing your empathy and your sense of fulfillment from that. And you may then set out on your own to recreate what you would really enjoy and what would fulfill you and move you into a level of higher connection. And you could have two avenues, one of working with these women to help, and the other avenue of having a connection that would be a two-way street, that you would become fulfilled by that connection. That's our answer.
Thank you. I want to ask a question about angels and guides. There's a common idea amongst many New Age people, psychics, channelers, that we all have angels or guides assigned to us before we're born, and guardian angels, etc., etc. And the person was asking the question, was asking, how does it connect with the angels that Carla was giving away? And for those of you that were not aware of it, and this may happen again, and this sounds crazy, I mean, but I trust Carla, and it worked out really well. But Carla made an association with a being on the other side that, and, you know, this is how I would describe it, that seemed to have a lot of leadership and coordinating ability. And that there were a number of souls that had left this realm that wanted to work with people in this realm. And they weren't really high beings. They were more like you and I, except they didn't have bodies anymore. And so they would say that we would share space and energy with someone and help be their companion. And this was Rosie, and this is something that Carla had connected with quite a few years ago, 25 years ago. And so Rosie was able to find one of these beings and say, would you like to work with so-and-so, and introduce them, and that person now would have that other being in their energy field to lift their spirits. And so at the end of some of our calls, some of you might have been listening, we did this, and people would say why they wanted an angel and talked a little bit about themselves, and they were assigned an angel. And I got some amazing emails from people that got assigned angels. You know, and it's really good if you're lonely and you can have a companion energetically. And some people had specific manifestations that indicated to them that they had a new companion on the inner levels. And they would call their name, and it would cheer them up. So we did this 3 or 4 times, and we'll probably do it again. Carla's taking a break from it. And so that is what brought this question up from Dave in Indiana, the idea of angels and guides. And Terry, do our sources get that?
Yes.
Okay.
With the angels in the higher realms, the heavenly realm, that have been assigned to work with individuals, these are of an order of angels that has a higher level of training than the angels which Carla is giving out through the angel guide Rosie. Angel guide Rosie is an individual that works with angels that are in training, that have crossed over, that were formerly human, maybe a child or even an older person that has crossed over and decided they don't want to be a human anymore, and so they decided to go into angel training. And they don't have a whole lot of skills to help a person with complex matters, but they do have the ability to make a person feel loved and to provide a safe feeling to the individual, to be with the individual and to give them a loving space. And they need to be asked in order to not go against free will. And so they need to be asked every day and to be with a person and to let the angel know that their presence is desired. So these are angels. We would call them angels in training, and it is a good growth experience for these individuals who have crossed over and then are called upon and are volunteering to be with a specific person to be as a companion to them, giving them love and stability. So that is the difference between the angels that are assigned at a higher level in are these angels that have are one, they're on the other side, but they are one step up from the human as they have, the majority of them have recently at some point been human and crossed over and decided not to come back as a human, but wish to be an angel and wish to provide love and a feeling of safety for an individual.
How about how does everyone have a high angel on the other side or a guardian, and do some people have negative high angels and guardians? I don't think you'd call them angels, but I think you understand what I mean.
Well, there are a myriad of different types of beings that can impinge upon a human if it is not from the angelic realm. Then they wouldn't be called angels in a negative entity that was bothering or possessing an individual and accompanying an individual would not be called an angel. Angels, duty to stay connected with the angelic realm and have a duty to feel certain obligations depending upon the role that they have chosen and need to report back to their seniors on progress. So in anything that's going on, if an angel becomes disconnected from the angelic realm, they may still be working with their original instructions for aiding an individual. However, they, in the disconnection, may, as soon as they become aware again, be recalled into the angelic realm for debriefing and further giving them rewards for their service in a difficult realm.
This is my question. When the universe was being created and each sub-logi was given free will to establish the rules of evolution within their domain, and just this is according to both the raw material and our material, that everything has a consciousness. The sun has a consciousness. Just like you have a consciousness and you have free will in your domain, the sun has free will in its domain. The galaxy is a consciousness that has certain free will. And then everything else falls underneath the free will of the larger logos. And the question is, did some of those logi, like a galaxy or a sun or a planet, choose service to self as their expression?
The logi would have a difficult time choosing service to self if they were going to have subsets, because the subsets derive their power from the main logi, and if they do not have the wherewithal to succeed in their sub-logi domainship, much of that is given to them by the logi, then there would be no eventually sub-logi. So there needs to be a spirit of cooperation and a spirit of giving and a sense of pride in the achievements and the development of the sub-logi, and a sense of allowing the sub-logi. However, the logi can and do establish rules for the whole logi and the sub-logi. And the rules are not even generally thought of it by the sub-logi as rules. I mean, if you step off a building at a very high, a 12-story, and the gravity takes you to the ground, you do not think that that is strange, because it is part of the rules that have been set up that are the individuals within the sub-logi learn these rules and operate according to them, or they do not survive. Does that help a little?
It does. So I do understand that. That makes sense. This is from Maryland, Seattle. How can I tell if I'm on the right spiritual path? And if I'm not, how do I get on it?
You can tell by observation. You can tell by the sense of fulfillment that you have. You can tell by how your body is responding to you. You can tell by your relationships with other people. What brings you, here's a question for you to ask yourself, what brings you a sense of fulfillment? Is it your connection with others, with your family? Is it your things that you do? Is it both of those things? The connection with certain people that you wish to connect with really, really a lot, but you don't have the type of connection that you would like to really have, that makes you feel that the other person really gets you and is responding and you're responding to them. So we would suggest that when there are situations in your life like this, that you observe them and see how you can improve the communication with the other person. And by providing the sense of love to the other person, giving them the sense that they are loved, this will go a long way towards helping with the relationship. The sense of love to be senior, and then the sense of the particulars, whether they have, the other person has done something or not, or completed something, that can be of a lesser value. Sometimes what happens is the other person doesn't feel your love and feels that the instructions are more important than their value or their help. So how much do you feel loved? How much do you feel cared for? How much do you feel connected? And this will help as a major thing on your path to then put in perspective these things that you yourself are determining that you wish to accomplish, to put them in perspective with the sense of caring and love that
you get and that you give, and that is our answer.
Thank you. We're almost out of time. I'm just going to answer one question quickly. I think I can answer it. What is carried from one incarnation to another with our soul, and how is it determined? How is it determined? Let me make sure if I'm still talking here. Hello, yeah. How is it determined what we're going to access in a given lifetime? Now, this may not be the total answer to this, but it is my answer from my own experience, is that your soul is like a giant hard drive that goes to a computer, and there's all these icons, and you don't know where they are. And so when something triggers you, it could be your parents, it could be an accidental synchronicity, it starts programming the icons, so something comes into being. Like, I remember years ago, I picked up a guitar in somebody's house and said, geez, I should learn to play this. And that's how I became a songwriter. But then I had a lifetime as a songwriter in a previous time. So that triggered it. When I met David Wilcock, it triggered certain things. When I met Daphne, it triggered a whole bunch of stuff. So there's a certain amount of randomness about who you meet, how you meet, and what you gravitate towards, and then suddenly you wake up a part of your being that was sleeping. Because you see, you can't wake up unless there's something in this realm to bounce off of. Okay, it could be you have an interest in something, you read books about it, and that relates to a past life. So on that note, what time is it? It's 7:57. We got a few seconds for our sources to say goodbye, and we'll close this call.
Thank you. You have given a very good answer to that question. If something gets triggered, it may bring you into a whole area that you were accessing in a past life. But if something else was triggered, it might take you into a whole arena of something else that you had going on in a different past life. We are so thankful to be here with you and to receive and give contact with you. And it has been sometimes our frustration in that we are so hard to make ourselves known where people wish to know us. We are very thankful for these calls and the opportunity that each of you is giving for the possibility of connection. That goes out to each of you. This is a sacred moment. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank everybody who's here. Just remember, if you sent a question and we didn't get it, please send it over and over again. It's okay, because when I see your question over and over again, I will usually ask it, or I'll say it, tell you it's forever for, you know, out of it. It won't work. But I get more questions always than we can handle. And so I try to pick the best questions. Sometimes I might make mistakes, but please send your questions over and over again. And Marcia, we do send love light to that situation with Jim Cole, and I wanted to ask that this time. Bring it up again, and I will ask a question about it, okay? And on that note, I'm going to unmute you all.
Unmuted.